Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Conservative Talk Radio. Your host, Chauncey Brown, and today we have in the studio Utah U.S. Congressional District Mary, pro-life candidate. Good afternoon, Mary. How are you?
I'm very well. And you?
So we
did I lose you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Are you there? Yes, yes.
I'm here.
Yes, I'm
okay.
Here. Okay, good.
I apologize. I guess we're experiencing some technical difficulty. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were saying, Mary?
No, I lost you and I didn't hear the question that you asked or anything.
I was mentioning that you are a 2020 Utah congressional candidate, pro-life candidate, and I didn't really get to a question yet.
Okay. There we go.
So I was saying that how our rights are being infringed upon by the left
mm-hmm.
and the Socialist Democratic Party.
And
I wanted you to talk about how that impacts our pro-life position.
Well, it seems like how it impacts us. It's interesting to me, and I've been going back and forth on Facebook this morning about a different issue, but I just find it so interesting how the left has this stereotype of all conservatives. And I'm sure you've noticed that the left also has sort of taken aim at baby boomers. You know, we're the
mm-hmm.
cause of the problems, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And this whole idea of what does freedom look like? You may have grown up this way. You're probably a little younger than me, but your parents at one time or another probably said to you, you know, your rights end at your friend's nose. You know,
mm-hmm.
we need to remember that freedom, liberty, if we're going to have it, we have to make sure others have it as well, because if we don't, we lose our freedom. And for some reason, we conservatives have been painted into this odd stereotype that particularly young Democrats and liberals seem to have, that we're, you know, stupid, that we talked them into going to college, and that didn't turn out the way we said it was going to. I mean, it's just one thing after another that younger people, particularly liberals, are blaming on baby boomers. One of the things is, you know, the right to do whatever you want with your body. That it's so interesting to me. And I've been pregnant 6 times. I have 6 children. I never once.
You.
Oh, thank you. I never once thought that child was literally me. I was the steward over that baby. I was not the dictator.
Amen.
And
excuse me. I had that conversation. I have to jump in. I'm sorry. I had that conversation with my kids. I says, I just happen to be your father, but I'm here to serve you.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That is awesome. I haven't
it's
heard
true, yeah.
that from anyone
yeah.
before but myself. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, actually, I had a little get-together with a few couples last week, and one of the women there, I had never met her before, she and her husband, and we were chatting, and they had told me that their children are raised, but they had 4 children in 5 years. And I thought, whoa. I thought that was quite an accomplishment. And I asked her, in your pregnancies, did you feel like you were like the boss of this baby and this baby was part of you? And therefore, if you wanted to take its life, it was because it was inconvenient or because it had a problem or whatever. And she said, no, I always thought I'm a vessel. You know, this is God's creation and I'm a vessel. I'm the vessel that's going to help it become who it's supposed to become. And I thought, okay, excuse me. So where did this idea that literally everything that happens with our bodies is suddenly ours and ours alone? You know, the women who have decided that this is my body and I can do whatever I want with it. Well, yeah, your body, but not somebody else's body. That baby may be attached to you via a cord, but that doesn't mean it's the same as you. You're just the vessel. You're just the steward.
Amen.
And I,
you know,
and I just,
I'm sorry. No, all I was going to say Mary, is you know, we're talking about pro-life, but we're also touching upon the lack of religious freedom and also the lack of the foundation of our Judeo-Christian values.
Right.
That is a that is the threat to our democracy and to our country.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also one of the reasons why we have the challenges we do in this country with these young people and with conservatives like ourselves that are pro-life. We're not only pro-life, we happen to be religious.
Right.
And I think that, and I'm not racist. You know, I really don't like when people say that white Republicans are racist, black Republicans are sellouts and turncoats. Okay.
Right.
I'm a human being with moral values.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised with those values. And my father was a Republican, but my whole point is that, you know, our parents did the best that they could to raise us, to expose us to religion, to expose us to right or wrong. And today, our institutions lack that. The respect for it, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
So therefore, everything else, you know, has fallen apart because the foundation of this country, like I said, is our Judeo-Christian values, whether you agree or disagree. If that is the foundation and the fabric of our country, we must preserve those.
Right.
And I feel that at this time, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mary. I'm sorry, go ahead. No,
I think that we're being told you have to tolerate my views. You have to accept me for who I am standing in front of you. And most of us are okay with that. I get it. However, then if that's the standard by which you want me to live, then that's the standard by which you must live. And that's where we get the hang up, I think. It's a level, young people are so dang arrogant now. They think they have all the answers. You know that great, was it Mark Twain who said, when I was 17, my father didn't know very much, but by the time I was 21, he had sure learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that's where our young people, they're missing the part about when I was 21, I realized he'd learned a lot. I get so frustrated. And today, particularly frustrated because of comments on Facebook that these young people are making, that they're so arrogant. They're so certain that they have all the answers. And they're so certain that when they read a comment on Facebook and they label me and others a certain way, like as you were saying earlier, you're not a racist. You're not an Uncle Tom. You're not all those stupid names that people get called. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, this generation of young people find it necessary to put us all in a negative pigeonhole. You belong there, and you belong there, and you belong there, and you belong there. And if you say anything, I'm going to come after you. What?
Well, it's interesting because if you look at the history of the Democratic Party, it was the terrorist arm of the Ku Klux Klan. It's ironic how the oppression and the racism of the Democratic Party still exists. The only thing is they're just deflecting it, saying it's us now. And it's never been the Republican Party. And that's where these young people need to know our history as well.
Right, yeah.
And
but
even
you know
today,
what? I've noticed even when you try to tell them that, they'll say, "Oh no, that's twisted. That's twisted history." You know, they've all had that. What is it? The People's History of America or something that Howard Zinn. It's a horrible book. It talks about, you know, how we killed the Native Americans and we spread disease, and it takes all of our accomplishments and puts a negative twist on them. And I think a lot of these young people, that's where they got their history of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ignorant. But there's no way they're going to accept the fact that they're ignorant.
They can't, because they lack the ability to comprehend and understand. So they can't.
Right.
And I understand
exactly.
That. The sad part is as you had alluded to earlier, the result is that they're a result of violence because of their ignorance. That becomes a problem for our way of life in our community. Like you see Antifa and these other radical left groups that want to impose violence because of their lack of intelligence and their ignorance to real policy issues.
Right. And they seem to be ignorant about their own rights and their own responsibilities. They seem to know all about the rights. They know nothing about responsibility.
That's because government has taken on the onus to say, "I'm your daddy, I'm your mommy,
right.
We'll take care of you," which we totally disagree with that.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Government is too big to... Go ahead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I read a post, a woman whose son, she has two children. I think her son is like 13. And she was posting how she went at 9 o'clock at night. The kids go to bed. She goes in their rooms and takes their phones. Sounds like a very parenting thing to do. And he was kind of ornery about it with her. And, you know, she's mean and she's this and that. And I thanked her for being a parent. This is great. Your son is learning what the rules are, and he's learning life has rules. How many 13-year-olds are being raised to not understand that?
Not
that
mine.
There are boundaries. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, my grandchildren are. Thank goodness, my grandchildren know. You know, you have rights, but you have responsibilities. And guess what?
No, no, exactly.
You know, we turn our phones off at 6 o'clock at night. I read an article years ago, and I shared it with a friend, and she does this. She has just one teenager at home now, but when she had more children at home, and she's probably still doing it. 6 o'clock at night, we eat dinner. We turn off our phones. We put them in a basket on the kitchen counter where we can all see. Mom, dad, kids, all the phones are in this basket on the kitchen counter. And you can't come back and get it until you come to breakfast the next morning at 7 o'clock. So for 12 hours, you know, and the kids at that point, they're doing homework. They're playing board games as a family. They're doing whatever. Those parents that are doing that are very smart parents, and they're teaching their kids boundaries. They're teaching responsibility. They're teaching life really does have rules. And when you follow the rules, for the most part, you're going to be pretty darn successful.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, once
so anyway, yeah. The
no,
topic
say,
of
the grid.
Life. Yeah,
yes.
Go ahead.
Well
go ahead.
Yeah, before we get to the topic of life, the most interesting thing is, excuse me, I was born and raised in the 60s, and I'm very thankful that there was not technology, because we valued life. We valued outside. We valued nature. We valued things. We didn't take things for granted because, you know, technology didn't exist, so we didn't have access to much except whatever, you know. And I grew up with one television, no phones. I mean, back then, black and white TVs. But these kids today, they have no concept. For me personally, technology has altered the course in a moral way, negatively on this country.
Right.
And And you know, I remember as a kid going to restaurants, there was no phones out. As a matter of fact, you didn't have a phone. I mean, but like you said, you go to a restaurant now, everybody's on their phones instead of communicating with each other. Technology becomes the babysitter for children. And because of the First Amendment right, people think that they can say and do whatever, as you alluded to earlier, without responsibility, and that's not true.
But please,
I know that you wanted to go into basically how can we protect life if we don't value life? That's what I'm really starting to understand with the left of these young people today. And that's what you're going to shed light on in the second half of the show. How can we protect life?
Well, obviously we have to teach it. You know, we have to teach the value of life in our homes. That's the number one place. And if mom and dad aren't doing it, grandma and grandpa, you need to step up and you need to teach your children the value of life. You need to help them understand that every life that is created. And I believe, and my husband's a semi-retired doctor. We've talked about this a lot. I believe that life begins at conception. Because when you think about it, those two cells come together and they immediately go to work. They start multiplying. They start, and that's life in my mind. When those cells are moving.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that's life. Things are happening. Things are moving forward. And body parts are being very quickly formed in just a few weeks, right? And then at the very end of a pregnancy, that's where the fine-tuning goes on. And, you know, eyesight is perfected and all these other things are perfected. And we need to understand that. We need to understand and help our children understand that we do have a creator. And even if you don't believe we have a creator, you can still teach your children the value of life because two cells came together and they got to work immediately. There's no delay. They go to work.
I'm sorry, but I love your analogy. Two cells got together and they went to work right away. I'm going to use that, Mary.
Exactly.
I think that's awesome.
Sure, yeah. But think about it. That's exactly
what happens,
you know?
You're right.
And I think there might be a YouTube video. There might be a YouTube video that shows that too. And we've heard, and I don't know if you read this, but it was a few months ago where scientists said that when those two cells come together, there is a burst of light. Isn't that something?
Yes.
That makes sense
yes,
to me. That makes such
it does.
Sense
it
to me.
It makes sense to me too, Mary, because I am the physical manifestation of those two cells. And that's why I agree and I understand and support that life begins at conception, even though I believe that life spiritually begins before conception.
Oh, I do too.
Because we were created in the spirit. And as you said, the consummation of the interaction is the physical already beginning.
Right.
So, yes, the conception of the two cells coming together is life. It is the actuality of the spirits coming, the two spirits coming together with the third communicating to form our physical presence.
Right.
And you're absolutely correct, Mary. Education about the value of life is very important. And you know, I have to blame the government and the media too.
Sure.
Because of what they spew out there. You know,
but remember,
yes, we have
a lot of cases, they're just reflecting the American people. In a lot of situations, that's what they're doing. And let's face it, we've got parents who don't want their children to suffer. I remember, you know, graduating from high school, and there was a girl at graduation who had to get up and leave because she was struggling with morning sickness. And the next thing we knew, she was back east, and she'd had an abortion and was embarrassed to come back to our community because everybody knew. Well, actually, not everybody did know, but life is life. And there are people out there. I have a nephew. He and his wife are now beyond the age of being able to adopt. But when they found out they could not have children biologically, they started saving so they could adopt. And the situation never worked out for them. It's very sad. They're in their mid-40s. They would love to have children, but they don't. And yet they're wonderful aunt and uncle to their nieces and nephews and their cousins' children. And they're wonderful people. They would have made wonderful parents. But at least in part because of abortion rates. And by the way, in 2015, and fortunately the numbers are going down every year, which is really nice, but in 2015, the most recent figures I could find, there were over 600,000 abortions performed in the U.S., 638,169. And liberals, when I talk about how important it is that this is life, that we need to be responsible with life and care about all life, and they will say, well, yeah, you Republicans care about them until they're born, and then you're okay with foster care and poverty. No, we're not. No one has ever said that. What we're okay with is finding great families for these newborns. What we're okay with is reinforcing the value of families, a mom and a dad. And, you know, we're letting men off the hook right and left. They make decisions. They leave a woman. She's left with young children or she's pregnant, struggling. That's all part of it. We have to teach our sons how to be men. And I try not to use the word proud because it's not my accomplishment. I have three sons who are wonderful fathers, wonderful fathers. They adore their children, but they also set limits and they set boundaries and they know, you know, mom and dad are in charge. And that's as it should be because it takes both a mom and a dad to teach a child how to behave in the world. And when we see these women having babies, and because there's no consequence if you're a single mom, really, if you've never been married, there's no real consequence. And I met a woman when she told me she had four children, all super achievers, which is great. So obviously she did a great job, but she's never been married. That was a choice she made. I'm like, dang. Wow. Just wow, because you know, as good as her children are as adults, you know it's tough getting there, and you know they still have tough times because they didn't have a dad to help them as they were growing up. Kids need both, mom and dad. I have a friend right now whose wife is very ill, and he's taken a step out of the political world and everything because they have two teenage daughters still at home. And he's taking care of his wife. He retired early so he could do this. And he's a great dad. But he has said and made comments that, you know, I wish my wife were in better shape and her health wasn't so bad because I can't do all the things with these girls that she can. I don't understand the world the way she does in talking with them. It's hard. It's hard. And we've got to do a better job as a society of allowing people the consequences of their own behavior. Particularly Amen. Men who desert families. Yeah.
You know, I want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show. We always have a lively discussion.
Yeah, thank you for inviting
me. Position. Yes, it's an honor and a pleasure to talk about life, your pro-life position. We even touched upon the moral fiber of the country, J.O. Christianity values. We cover a lot today. We cover a lot of things that are important for us to continue to have the conversation about if we want to save our country. This is what created our country. This is what's going to maintain our country and save it. And we have to fight back against those who are trying to take away our rights to life, our right to be able to practice our own religion, et cetera. Mary Burkett is running for Congress in Utah, I believe in the 21st
the second district.
I'm sorry, I know there's a two in there. In the second district.
Yeah, we only have four districts. Probably after 2020, after the new census, I think we might actually be adding a fifth, which would be really nice for us. But yeah, we're in the second district. And I'm trying to unseat an incumbent, which is kind of gutsy. But we have to because he's just not the assertive person we need to act on our behalf in Washington, D.C., in Congress. He's been okay with overspending, first of all. He is, fortunately, pro-life, but there are some other areas where he's not so good. He's okay with the government collecting data, you know, illegal search and seizure. He's okay with that because he thinks it's going to keep us safer. And he is a veteran, so that's kind of where he's coming from. He seems to think that let's give the CIA and the military whatever they want so we can stay safe. And I'm thinking, no, let's not give them everything they want. Let's keep an eye on all of this. Let's see what's going on here. Those are the things that I'm really, really passionate about. Giving, we Americans, we're the movers and shakers of this world. We're the problem solvers, the innovators, the inventors. We do that. And when government gets out of our way, we can do it even better. We solve problems. Get out of our way and let us do it.
Thank you so much. We're running short on time. I want to thank you again, Mary Burkett, for coming on the show and talking about pro-life. This is Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Please join me at Right Talk Radio on Twitter or C.I. Brown, the third Roman numeral 3 at Twitter, or you can find us on Facebook at Conservative Talk Radio and also Chauncey I. Brown, the third. Next week, please join us. I'm going to have in the studio Ms. Jennifer Brown, Esquire, who is the Virginia GOP chairwoman of the 6th Congressional District. We're going to talk about the 2020 presidential election, Republican Party, and issues facing America today. Please join us next Thursday for that wonderful interview. And Ms. Burkett, in closing, would you like to say anything to America, potential constituents, briefly, how they can get a hold of you, how they can donate to you, things of that nature?
And I'm glad you brought that up because I do need donations. We're doing a direct mail piece right now. We know it works in the kind of approach we took. And I just need money for postage. It sounds really strange, but I do. I need like $800 for postage. You can go to my website, Burkett, B-U-R-K-E-T-T, the number 4, Utah.com. You can donate. My phone number is on my website. Yes, I do have people, but my people don't answer my phone. I do because I want to talk to people. I want to hear your input, but I want your friendship. I want your support. I need your money. So it's just Burkett, B-U-R-K-E-T-T, the number 4, Utah.com.
Thank you so much again. And for all of our listeners, please check on my page at Chauncey I. Brown III on Facebook and also Conservative Talk Radio, because we will assist in posting Mrs. Burkett's donation so we can help her get her message out. We thank you for being our show again, and we look forward to having you on again next month, Ms. Burkett. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. You're welcome. I want to say thank you to all our listeners. I want to thank you to the American people. God bless America. I hope everyone has a safe and blessed ride home. Good night now.
Take care.